Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Not too many hours ago, we were on our way back from Cincinnati. The Steelers coming up with, in my opinion, a much-needed victory over the Bengals. 24-17 was the score of that, but to me, the more important numbers than 24-17 are 3-3. That's where the Steelers are now. In second place in the AFC North, the Bengals are doing what I didn't think they were going to do, which they do all the time, which was go through a losing streak that was going to bring them back to the pack. And the Baltimore Ravens are still trying to figure out what they're going to do without Lardarius Webb and Ray Lewis. They got spanked in Houston, and Joe Flacco, in my opinion, lost his poise a little bit in that game. So, things in the AFC North suddenly look much more up for grabs than they did about 10 days ago. So, like I said, the Steelers needed this. A division win. They're undefeated in the division. They can hang their hat on that. And I don't know. I think 10-6 might win the AFC North this year. But let's talk about this game first. I was impressed with the performance in a lot of different areas. You want to give me some of your takeaway on that?
Yeah, I'll play Captain Obvious here. I didn't think it was a very good likelihood that they were going to get the Bengals blocked with the makeshift offensive line. I didn't go there thinking it was hopeless and they had no chance to win, but I thought they were going to have to work around pressure, which never really materialized, I didn't think, on a consistent basis. I thought Ben Roethlisberger was well protected, and I wouldn't have given you any chance whatsoever that A.J. Green would have one catch for 8 yards.
Let me ask you this, I agree with you. What do you think would have been less likely, A.J. Green having one catch for 8 yards or the Steelers rushing for 167 and averaging 5.8 doing it? With, as you mentioned, that offensive line, no Redmond, no Mendenhall.
A.J. Green having one catch for 8 yards. I think he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
And playing at home, we saw the Steelers run fairly well against Philadelphia. Would they have about a .127 in that game, I think. We've seen flashes from Jonathan Dwyer. Not a lot of them, but we've seen them. What they did to A.J. Green was flat-out impressive, Bob. I won them the game, in my opinion.
You know, and it boggles my mind, though, that they can do that to A.J. Green and then – you know, there are some other instances where, players of much less ability have enjoyed tremendous success. And so, I don't know, that kind of frustrates me a little bit, because if you can do it sometimes, I want to see it more than sometimes.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But I think what you saw last night was not just Ike Taylor playing well, but an entire secondary playing well. Guys helping each other out, backing each other up. I didn't get a chance to talk to Keenan Lewis after the game, but there was a play in the third quarter where Dalton threw long to A.J. Green. It looked like he had Ike beat on the post, and it looked to me as if Keenan Lewis was covering his guy on the crossing pattern underneath, saw it, read it, and ran back to help out deep and was able to jump up and get a pass defensed.
That's
veteran stuff right there.
Yeah.
And that maybe changes the scoreboard if he doesn't make that play. So, it takes everybody sometimes, and they got just enough of what they needed from everybody last night.
And I think really that's the way they're going to have to do it. You know, it's going to have to be, I don't think you can count on, maybe in the past, back there, the Steelers have relied on some individual talent to do some certain things or, create some other matchups in other areas. Hey, we can do this with him. But I think that really this group now, especially without Troy Polamalu, needs to really come together and be the sum of the parts as opposed to, a bunch of individuals you hope can make plays. I think it much more needs to be a unit. And speaking of unit, the offensive line, led by Willie Colon, in my opinion, some of that running was they were putting people on their backs. Colon, Mike Adams, I thought was very representative yesterday, particularly in the running game.
And interesting opportunity he has right about now, Mike Adams.
Oh, I think that if Mike Adams continues to progress as he is right now,
if the arrow's pointing up,
by the time Gilbert comes back, too late. If he stays healthy and continues as he is, this guy to me, you know, if he turns out to be the worth the risk that they took on him from a character standpoint, I think this could be one of the great steals. Here, I'm sounding like Beano Cook about Ron Paulus. He'll win two Heisman trophies. No, but I mean, him as a second round pick, I mean, he looks to me like he looks like a player to me already.
Yeah, and the supposition going into Cincinnati was, he's been a little bit uneven in his brief appearances so far, but knowing he's going to start at the outset of the preparation week and getting all the reps with the ones and starting the game as opposed to coming off the bench, that should all help him perform at a higher level. Well, if all that was true, and it was, now he has a start under his belt, confidence is boosted, that much more experience, that many more snaps to grow on, should be even better this Sunday at home against the Redskins, correct?
Yeah, and to me, the only thing that could derail him, I'm not predicting this, I'm just, you know, looking ahead, is if he thinks, I've arrived, then you might.
Not from Ohio State would never entertain such a thought, would he?
You know, Woody, that's pretty good too, Ohio State. I liked the way that he looked. You know, Doug Legursky again continues to be, you know, you'd say starter capable, but Pouncey is just a lot better. You know, but I mean, Doug Legursky, to me, if you know, and it's weird to say this, but because of how good Legursky can fill in, it's almost like an injury to your best offensive lineman isn't as bad as an injury to maybe one of the other ones when you don't have a guy as good backing him up.
Yeah, Legursky seems to be better at center, too. I know
yes.
He's guard-capable, interior flexible.
Theoretically.
Seems to play better at center.
Yeah, I mean, his size is his size is not as much a detriment, I don't think, at center as it would be at guard. Colon was just dominating people.
That was vicious last night.
And, you know, we were talking before, just before we started this, in the quotes handed out by the Bengals PR department, all NFL teams transcribe select quotes from both locker rooms after the games and make them available to the media. But in those quotes, Willie Colon explained how that little tussle he got into with Vontaze Burfict, the Bengals linebacker, relatively early in the game was on purpose. He said that he thought that, you know, his Steelers teammates were a little bit flat emotionally, especially on offense. And he said that I felt I needed to do something. So he just kind of got it going a little bit with a guy. He didn't say this. I'm projecting with a guy. Burfict, who will respond and trade, you know, whatever you want to do on the bottom of the pile, and maybe it worked. But I like the initiative that he showed to, you know, kind of light a fire where he felt one was necessary.
Yeah, I hope he didn't go too far in revealing that was his intent. Because if Roger Goodell sees those quotes or hears this podcast, lab, they're going to line Willie Colon up, rip the numbers off his shoulder, and then give him a blindfold and a cigarette.
Well,
because you can't be starting fights out there on purpose, can you?
Well, Roger's got some issues down in New Orleans that might be occupying his time right now with judges and stuff. So who knows? Maybe this slides under the radar. But, no, I mean, Marvin Lewis was quoted last week as saying his team wasn't mean enough. So maybe it was Vontaze Burfict that started it on the bottom, Your Honor. I'll present the other side of that. But anyway, and again, another, in my opinion, very, very good performance by the quarterback, catch the ball and it's 41-17 easy.
Yeah.
Catch the ball.
He made three or four throws last night that just I reference this every once in a while. I'm not trying to sound like I know it all or I've seen it all, but I've been doing this since 1986. It's a long time.
You've seen some bad Steelers quarterbacks since then, but before him.
It's harder to be impressed by these guys is the point I'm trying to make. And three or four balls just exploded out of his hand and left vapor trails. And it just your jaw just drops. And, wow, did I just see that? Did he really make that throw? And how do they catch those?
Yeah.
And these weren't the drops, by the way. Well, one of them was. It was the deflected ball by Leon Hall. I guess, does that count as a drop? We were debating that.
Yeah, you know.
You know, the old, if you get your hands on it, you're supposed to catch it theory, which they'd subscribe to here.
Yeah.
But if it's tipped a foot and a half in front of you.
Yeah, I understand that. I think, though, that and you're talking about Mike Wallace. In his particular case last night, it seemed to me a part of a series. Now, that particular one is explainable. I think he would tell you if you asked him or that he thought he should catch it. And I like that attitude. Some of the other ones, you know, here's another thing. I think that if he makes maybe a couple of those earlier plays, he makes that play too, because it can be a confidence factor. You're just feeling it. Mike Wallace did not have a great game last night.
And yet he tied his career high with 8 receptions.
Yeah, you know, there can
make those stats say anything you want them to sometimes.
Right. There can be no targeted 15 times. Yeah. I mean, targeted 15 times and handed the ball twice on reverses. Antonio Brown, another good game. I wonder how many yards he would have had not all those punt return yards been taken off with penalties. Yeah. Although, I thought you told me you were going to take care of that, those special teams penalties. I put you in charge of one little thing. Go down there and make sure they don't hold on any of those returns anymore. Do I have to do everything myself?
I don't recall this conversation, but I can't tell you. Maybe this will drive you less crazy. A lot of times, they wouldn't have gotten the return yards without the penalty. It's not as if the penalty is totally.
I'd like to see. You know what, though? I mean, I really. Antonio Brown is a punt returner. Let him. Some of those things are you know, stupid or if you're holding them, at least have the decency to let him go when Antonio Brown runs past the guy. Those are the kind of things that, you know, there are penalties all over the field a lot of times, but it's the being unaware enough that you can't get away with it every now and then, to me, that, and it's the same people.
It has been.
DeMarcus Van Dyke. Lot of holding penalties on special teams. Lots.
I think he's got at least 4, if not more.
So.
I'll check that and get back to you on the next podcast.
But Lamar Woodley representing his university very well yesterday, did he not?
Yeah, nice game.
How about.
Had to go there.
The catch Lamar Woodley made, I think, on the interception was tougher than the one Mike Wallace did in the end zone. On the deflections, what do you think?
I'll disagree just because the Woodley thing was fluttering, but it was such a soft, floating ball. I think he had some time to react to it. But
that was a weird play, huh? Slipped out of Andy Dalton's head, bounced off the back of the guy's helmet, and turned into an interception.
Nice play by Woodley, though, and that's the kind of thing he has to do. He's got to make splash plays. If they're not sacks, it has to be batting balls, intercepting balls, knocking the ball out of someone's grasp. It is interesting how different that defense looks when you have 92 and 56 out there at the same time for an extended period. Did you go over the second half? 70 yards for Cincinnati, 4-3 and outs. The defense just kind of, after a really shaky start, letting the law firm run to daylight. They made an adjustment to cover that number 74 is eligible thing.
Yeah.
And then just kind of constricted that game. And project, if you will, when Troy Polamalu gets back, how different it's going to look still.
Yeah, the Woodley play, you know, again, like the franchise quarterback can either do for the offense or for the team, erase bad plays previous. The Woodley interception did that for the defense. I don't want to say it woke them up or anything, because I don't think they were sleepwalking earlier, but it turned a tide, because then the offense stuck it in the end zone and tied the game. Which, would you have gone for two there?
Absolutely not.
Me either. After that, the Steelers outscored the Bengals 18-3. And again, catch the ball, and it's even more than that. So, pretty nice night, a needed win, and now, I think the task now is you got to try and do it more than one in a row.
And that was a subject broached voluntarily in the locker room by Willie Colon, among others. And, after that Philadelphia game, Bob, I kind of thought, all right, they're back. They proved they're still the Steelers. I think we might have even kicked around.
Oh, yeah.
They are who we thought they were. Line. Yeah. It looked like they were able to summon their character and their process and their identity. Well, all these intangible cliche type descriptions we can throw out. Got to do it again, and now they got to do it again, because if you lose to the Redskins after this game, what was gained is lost, and maybe you're a little further behind the eight ball
because it's later in the year
than you were, and it's a home game and all that stuff. So I keep going back to the Mike Tomlin line when they began their defense of the Super Bowl, when he said, "I know you're capable. The question is, what are you willing to do?"
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Right. And one other little mathematical fact for you. If a team never wins more than one in a row over the course of a whole season, they cannot be more than 8-8.
I might win this division.
I don't think so. That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football.
You didn't see much of that Ravens game Sunday, did you?
Yeah, I did. For Mike Pursuit, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. They already have 5 wins, though. We'll talk to you soon.